This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
Chorus Line by Harris Coverley. Dasan knew he was on the verge of death, but also that he had to keep going. The sun was so vicious that the young man was nearly blind, and his loose robe, usually the most effective method of keeping cool in such a climate, was not halting the continuous theft of the last bits of fluid from his body. He tightened his keffiyeh around his head, trying to get a stronger seal around his mouth. To allow himself to pant would be to lose even more moisture, and to dry his mouth out completely. Part of him wanted to sit on the edge of the dune he was crossing and rest, but to stop would be to invite death even sooner. He would lose momentum and be unable to get up again, or he would begin to sink into the deceitful sand and join its other victims beneath. "The desert is my enemy," Dasan thought. "To cross it is to conquer it." He stopped at the dune's edge and had to make a choice of direction. He looked ahead. It would be difficult to go straight, but he knew that going either left or right would take him too far off course. Dasan made his decision. He tightened his keffiyeh again and, arching sideways, started to make his way slowly down the incline. His ankles felt bruised and twisted, but he was making good on his awkward descent, until his left foot slipped on a particularly soft patch of sand, and he fell, rolling down the dune's edge. His keffiyeh unraveling, his lips tasted the treacherous grains. When he came to a stop at its base, he got on his hands and feet and spat them out. He had heard tales, rumors, really, of men going mad between the dunes, worshipping the sand as though it was a heathen god, getting on their knees and eating it, or snorting it like the snuff the Christians had brought back from the New World. And they would choke to death, or suffocate, and be eaten by the foxes or by other madmen. He himself began to choke, a rogue cloud of powdery sand having drifted through his mouth and into his throat. He hawked and hawked, but it would not leave him. It was stuck to his inner flesh. An agony went through his neck and down into his chest. "So this is death," Dasan thought. As he struggled, he thought bitterly of the caravan that had abandoned him, of its leaders who had expelled him from their group without a canteen, of his uncles for not having taught him better how to survive in such a situation. "They have sentenced me to death," he wanted to shout. He then thought of Ashma, and of the city he was going to where she was waiting for him. He thought of his promise to her and her parents, and to his own mother. He thought of the will of God and the example of the prophet, and of his ancestors whom had conquered this very land. His hands caked in sand, and still choking, Dasan stood up and summoned will. From somewhere in his body, the saliva returned to move the sand from his throat, and it left him in three great viscous lumps. Looking down into the sand, Dasan saw a little blood in his expelled detritus, but that did not worry him too much. He had survived for one more minute at least. The wind kicked up and quickly hit it. Dasan gathered his keffiyeh, shook it free of sand, and wrapped it back around his head before gathering a sandal which had fallen off in his tumble. He thanked God and restarted his journey. "If I keep going in this direction," he thought, "I will surely hit water soon, or perhaps the rains will come. It is the season after all, I think." As he walked, his body became more content after its test of mortality, and gradually got better used to the searing realm. Dasan tried to take bigger and bigger strides, but he was tiring fast and opted to be more leisurely. "If I am destined to die, I can at least ease into it," he thought. The wind had begun to blow again. Dasan's eyes had recovered from the sun, but now he was being blinded by sand. Underfoot, the sand itself began to squelch obnoxiously, as though it was wet with the water he so desperately needed. "Mocking me?" he asked the sand in his head. "I'll show you." He carried on, new reserves of energy rising into his bodily core, increasing his speed. The wind's force lessened, and it became a gentle breeze, relatively free of specks. Dasan loosened his keffiyeh and let it cool his cheeks. "You can be my friend yet," he thought of the breeze. It was then that he noticed a squeaking voice coming from his right side. Dasan stopped and turned, but saw nothing. He decided not to waste precious saliva through calling out and exposing it to the heat. Besides, he believed it to just be his imagination. But soon, the squeaking voice returned, and Dasan could not help but turn back and ask who was there, muffled through his headgear. There was no answer. The tall dune at his side exhibited no interlopers, and yet, as he continued to walk, the voice resumed, forcing him in fear to go faster. As Dasan watched the wind blow the lighter sand granules across the denser layers, he realized what was happening. Azif al-Jinn, the jinn singing in the desert, or rather, the singing sands. One of his uncle had told him of such things, although he had never before heard it with his own ears. Dasan slowed and returned to a more manageable pace. He smiled to himself. "You fool," he thought. "You need a drink. You're getting weary." But as he carried on, the squeaking voice grew louder, even as the wind stayed at the same strength. Dasan tried to ignore it, but within his liquid-deprived head arose migraines, and his vision blurred. He put his hands over his covered ears as he walked, but the voice became shriller still. The squeaking gave rise to a chorus line of whining singers, punctuated with barking, oinking, and other uglier noises. Eventually, to Dasan's despair, screaming became predominant. "Curse you!" he screamed back at the dune, and began to choke. He managed to stop it and broke into a run. The screaming was then transcended by what to Dasan sounded like laughter. But not just one man laughing, but dozens, hundreds, thousands even. In his mind, he came to the conclusion that the sand had always been his enemy, but that he had been reckless to think that the wind could have been a friend. It and the sand were clearly in league with each other and had his soul in their sights. Dasan ran across a steep incline and, in his panic, slipped, falling into a deep pit, his keffiyeh undone and caught on a dead vine, high out of reach. On his hands and knees once more, he could hear the laughing sand so intensely it was deafening him. He could feel his eardrums bending inward with the overwhelming pressure of sound. Through his coughing, he cried out, "What do you want from me but a mere trader? What do you want from me but a poor man with a bride to keep and not a coin to his word?" The sands and the winds did not care, but swelled their laughter to a level of explosions, to the roar of volcanoes, the howl of the dying earth, the wail of a woman in eternal childbirth. Dasan looked into his landing place and wondered what they could possibly desire. If he ate the sand as if it were an offering, it would congest within him and he would die. If he snorted the sand as if it were a drug, he would suffocate. He could snuff the sand into his ears to block the sound, but that would probably make both the wind and the sands angrier. The god of the universe could not save him now. He was now the quarry of the elements. He stripped, exposing his naked flesh to the lash of the wind's grit. He then began to dig himself into the sand. To Dasan, It seemed so obvious. Only total submission to the sand could save him. The sand was his mother now. His god, his creator, his destroyer. He thought briefly of his own mother, of Ashma, of the city where they were, of the family he had yet to raise, of all his present and possible futures, and waved them off as if they were flies. Dasan dug and dug, sinking down, and the winds grew heavy with sand and began to cover him utterly. He descended further and further into the loose ground, until, to an observer, there was but a little bulging movement, and then nothing. Moments later, the winds died down to trickles of air, and the sands became as still as a rock face, the whole desert tranquil. 2 miles north, a caravan traveled slowly in the afternoon heat. Harris Coverley has had short fiction published in Curiosities, Hypnos, The Periodical Forlorn, Horla, The Centropic Oracle, Pulp Modern Fiction, and many, many others. He is also a Riesling Award-nominated poet with over 160 individual verse published around the world. He lives in Manchester, England. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this story. This one kind of reminds me of an experience I had as a child. I've been a type 1 diabetic since the age of 7, and one day I went into ketone acidosis, which, long story short, is one of the most deadly things a diabetic can experience, and one of the side effects is that your brain becomes so dehydrated that it actually shrinks inside your head. The bizarre hallucinations that I had during that experience still haunt me to this day. They can't even really be described with words. They were more visceral. They were closer to emotions, but not. Just not an experience I would recommend anybody go through. And the story kind of reminds me of that, the way that he just starts going insane and thinking about the sands and the winds being gods. That's the kind of thing that I could definitely see in a trip like that. Random things just start to make sense in a bizarre logical way that defines reason. If you guys did like this story, be sure to leave a thumbs up and a comment if you're on YouTube. Or if you're listening to the podcast, just be sure to subscribe for brand new short stories. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.